from the studio in the back corner of my temple, located in fabulous Flint, Michigan. Hi, I'm Jack, and you're listening to Wider Circles, a pagan variety podcast, better known to its friends simply as Wider Circles. Just as the name implies, my aim is to bring you content, always with community, caring, and connection at the center, that informs and entertains, with our focus being on all things that intersect with the pagan worldview. Welcome to Episode 1, The Pilot. On this episode, we'll talk a little bit about the autumnal equinox, since that happens to be today. I'll sit down for a fun and insightful chat with Kenya Koviak, Detroit's pagan journalist. And maybe there'll be a spell and perhaps a recipe somewhere in the mix. And if you stick with us till the end of the episode, there's a live musical performance from the official Wider Circles launch party. Wider Circles is always looking for guest contributors on all of the topics. If you have an idea and you would like to be a part of Wider Circles podcast, send your ideas to widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. Stay connected with Wider Circles on Facebook by going to facebook.com/widercirclespodcast. And now, with no further delays, here's our show. Welcome to the Circle. And the wheel of the year turns again, bringing us to the autumnal equinox, the gateway into the fall. Personally, this is probably my favorite time of year, with spring being a close second, but since we are in the fall, that's what I'm going to call it. Living in Michigan, the seasons changing is quite palpable, especially when we're moving from the summer into the fall. We have all the smells, the acorns, the leaves falling from the trees and decaying. We have all the different things like that. The colors of the leaves changing. We have all of the critters scurrying around, gathering, preparing themselves for the boom, boom, boom impending weather. This is a really good time of year to have bonfires. This is a good time to visit pumpkin patches. This is a good time to visit cider mills. I just did that. I got myself some hot donuts and some fresh cider and a couple of other autumnal artisanal goodies. This is also a good time to visit a Renaissance fair. And just like that, we're magically transported to the Ren Fair. So many things to do here. I love to shop, doing all the shopping, looking at all the clothes and all the leather wares and all the other artisanal offerings. All the shiny, sparkly jewelries. Love me some jewelry. All the smells, the scented oils, the incense, the essential oils, the smells of all the food. Ah, the food itself. Turkey legs, if you're into that sort of thing, are synonymous with Ren Fairs. As are cinnamon roasted almonds. Probably my favorite, and I think that they're a quintessential part of the fall and of Renaissance fairs. I love hearing the vendors yell, "Get the queen's nuts!" So good. And that brings me to why we're here. My cinnamon roasted almonds recipe. I've been making this recipe for more than a decade, and I will take these nuts anywhere people will let me. I've had them at birthday parties and receptions, just about every holiday, potlucks. They've been at just about every Sabbath. They frequently appear in ritual. They're a regular on my altar as an offering. So let's talk a little bit about the ingredients. Almonds themselves are bountiful at this time. This is when they are being harvested like other nuts. And cinnamon. Cinnamon makes its appearance in just about all of the sabbats, and I think that that's because it is such a multi-tool. It has so many different energetic properties associated with it. The Latin name for almonds is Prunus dulcis. The folk name is Greek nuts. The elemental correspondence is air. The planetary correspondences are Mercury, Venus, and Saturn. The astrological signs associated are Gemini and Leo. Magical properties include, but are not limited to, banishing addiction, beauty, fertility, luck, prosperity and wealth, universal love, mental clarity. The medicinal properties of almonds include promotes heart health, high in both vitamins E and K, promotes healthy skin, promotes cardiovascular health, promotes strong bones, helps prevent weight gain, known to reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Cinnamon! Buckle up, it's about to get bumpy. The Latin name for cinnamon is cinnamum verum. The elemental correspondence is fire. The planetary correspondences are Sun and Mars. The astrological sign associated with cinnamon is Aries. The deities associated with cinnamon are Aphrodite, Dionysus, Mercury, and Venus. The magical properties of cinnamon include consecration, healing, home protection, love spells, lust spells, money drawing spells, protection, sex magic, bonk chicka pow, speeds up manifestation in your work, spiritual inspiration, success, and victory. The medicinal properties: helps to stabilize blood sugar, aids in motion sickness, cinnamon has antifungal properties, aids in slow digestion and metabolism, upset stomach. So what you'll need: 1 egg white. There will be a vegan egg white substitute provided at the end of the recipe. 1 teaspoon cold water, 4 cups blanched whole almonds, 2/3 cup granulated sugar, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon ground cinnamon. Directions. Preheat oven to 250 degrees Fahrenheit or 120 degrees Celsius. Line a baking sheet with foil and lightly grease. 2. In a medium to large mixing bowl, lightly beat the egg white. Add water and beat until frothy, but not stiff. Add the nuts, stirring until well coated. In a separate bowl, thoroughly combine the sugar, salt, and cinnamon, and sprinkle over the nuts. Toss to coat. And then spread the nut mixture out on the prepared sheet pan. 3. Bake for 1 hour in the preheated oven, stirring approximately every 15 minutes, but be careful because they are hot. The sugar is extremely hot. Cook until they're golden brown for, again, about an hour. Allow to cool, and then you're able to store them for up to 4 weeks in an airtight container. The vegan egg white substitute, as promised, is as follows. It's a simple 1-3-5 formula. 1 tablespoon chia seeds, 3 tablespoons cold water, and let that sit for about 5 minutes before using. If you try this recipe and you enjoy it, please give me feedback at widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. If you have a recipe idea, or if you would like to be one of our guest contributors for recipes or for kitchen witchery, please contact us at widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. Autumnal equinox, also known as September equinox or the fall equinox. At this time of year, we find ourselves turning our attention to the harvest and to themes of balance. This is technically the astronomical start to the season of fall. In the northern hemisphere, anyways. In the southern hemisphere, lucky, you're starting spring. But that's a different episode. The word equinox has its roots in Latin, equus meaning equal, and nox meaning night. At this time, the length of the day hours are roughly equal to that of the night. After the autumnal equinox, the night starts to grow longer and longer until we get to winter solstice, at which point the day begins to lengthen once again. So this particular day, this particular time of year is observed and celebrated by many different peoples for many different traditions in many different ways. And just a few of them are known as Mabon, Harvest Home, Winter Finding, Elben Elved, which means the light of the water, Second Harvest Festival, Wine Harvest, Feast of Dionysus, Feast of Avalon, and Michaelmas. Some of my personal practices and observances. One thing, I don't like to start new projects in the dark half of the year, which is from the autumnal equinox to the vernal equinox in the spring. So I don't like to take on new projects. This is a time for me to go within and a time for maybe to scheme new projects to begin right after the vernal equinox. But this is usually a time for me to reflect on how the light half of the year has gone. So that's usually one thing I do. And that doesn't mean that I can always stick to that 100%. Sometimes I have to start projects in the dark half of the year, but I tend to notice more success if I plant those seeds in the dark and then really start to do the work in the summer or in the light half of the year. And then another one of my practices is I like to balance an egg on end, and I've been doing this since I was very young, when I was told about and began believing in the whole myth that you can only balance an egg on end during the vernal and the autumnal equinoxes. I did not know that. I had been balancing the egg for probably 10 years before I found out that you could do it other times of the year. I don't, though. I still stick to the vernal equinox and to the autumnal equinox, and that's because we're talking about balance, and it's usually part of a ritual to reestablish balance. This is also the time that I plant my fall garden. And this is when I also will put in the specimens that need to overwinter. Some of the correspondences that could aid you in your work, if you're doing something particular for autumnal equinox, include the colors are brown, yellow, red, purple, green, and gold. Some of the stones are tiger's eye, moss agate, and smoky quartz. Spices and herbs, sage, yarrow, chamomile, rosemary, allspice, nutmeg, cinnamon, and clove. The incense that work best are frankincense and myrrh. Other stuffs you can use in your rituals and celebrations include pine cones, acorns, nuts, dried flowers, and leaves. Some of the foods associated at this time, mainly because they're being harvested, include apples, grains, gourds, pumpkins and squashes, root vegetables, corn, pomegranate, and grapes. This is a very good time to begin a gratitude practice. Some people put this is Pagan's Thanksgiving, as we're in the second harvest. This is a good time for autumnal cleaning. Spring cleaning is not the only time, especially with what we have coming ahead of us. For those of us who live in the north, particularly those of us who have very clear delineations between our seasons. Michigan, we have winter coming. This is a good time for magic that focuses on justice, financial security that matches the effort put forth. This is a good time for release. This is a time for balancing of energy, for the balance between mind and body. This is a time to work towards happiness. And so we have craft and activity ideas for this time of year. We have magical charms from the garden. You could fashion grapevine wreaths, corn cob, wheat, or apple dolls. I like to work with poppets, so that kind of speaks to me. This is a good time to do the canning and the preserving of the bounty of your harvest from your garden. This is also a good time for tincturing and other types of preservation for medicinal preparations. And this is a good time to make magical inks from berries and nuts that are gathered. If you have any other suggestions of how one can celebrate their autumnal equinox, please feel free to drop over to the Facebook page or to send an email, widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. Please welcome with me, if you will, to Wider Circles Podcast, Kenya T. Koviak. She is Detroit's pagan journalist, activist, magical teacher, family service worker, and the creator behind the Detroit Conjure and Folk Magic Festival. Welcome, Kenya.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I am great and very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. How's your harvest going? I know that you're an avid gardener.
It's going very well. I'm doing battle with the squash borer because, you know, it's their time, so I'm not even angry about it. It's all good. Everything, there is a season. My husband is busily, you know, destroying varmints. So, you know, it's a balance. Waiting for the dark harvest to come.
So all things are in order.
Everything is definitely in order. I just don't have a blood harvest.
Well, you don't know that.
So my husband will, but I won't. I'm a Taurus. Even though I have that moon in Scorpio, I'm tenderhearted. So I don't like to, he catches the fish and I start complaining about, oh, look at it. Oh, no. Oh, hit it in the head so it won't hurt. Oh, can't you just put it back? So, you know, he won't take me hunting with him.
So. Oh, so your moon is in Scorpio. That's the only place that I don't have Scorpio. So,
yes, that's what I keep hearing these memes about moon and Scorpio, and it is not that deep, okay?
All these tropes floating around the internet.
Exactly. And maybe I hold a grudge for a few years after you're dead, but that's not really that bad.
That's not that bad. You know, again, all things in season, so. So, I think I want to make sure that we don't run out of time. So I want to make sure that you have the time to plug anything that you have coming up that's either of your own organization or something else that you're doing before we dig in.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I can plug my articles that are coming out on PBN, that's PaganBusinessNetwork.com. We have the Michigan Witches Ball next year in 2021. We had to cancel it this year. And the Detroit Conjure and Folk Magic Festival will be happening next year as well. So those are the main things on the horizon.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that those events are scheduled to return. It's unfortunate what we had to do to make it through this pandemic, but here we are.
I'm looking at my bangs. You can tell I'm going thin hair. Look at that. Look at that forehead. That forehead is rushing back, trying to meet the back of my neck. Look at that. All that vanity, just trying to do that comb over with the girl thing with the bang. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back.
That's okay. It's okay. We have to do our noticing when we do it, you know? I don't want you to have that, you know, go in without reaction, so.
Oh, I try not to be vain, so.
Well, you know, we try. So
I may be vainglorious, though.
So what would you say your origin story is, however that looks to you?
Okay, so the most common thing I tell people is how I used to be in the library and I was, you know, reading about healing and whatnot. And that's what happened. And the librarian takes me and says, oh, no, read these books. But the secret origin story I have shared with you, and I'm going to share it again here. And that is when I was in school, in elementary school at Elizabeth Carville Elementary School in Detroit, there was a story. And in this story that we had to read for literature, there was this little black girl in the story. And I can't remember the name of the book. And she was a little black girl. She had just moved into the school area. And her mother owned a greenhouse, which is why she had access to these exotic plants. So this other little girl becomes fascinated with this little black girl who has these exotic plants, such as belladonna, which was one of my, you know, aliases for teaching. And she just had all this magical knowledge and told her she was a witch. And I thought that was the most fascinating thing ever. And I'm like, I want to be that little black girl. Mm. I want to be her. Mm. So if anybody looked for that book, they had a thing and the spell was Parcel Pokes Poke or something like that. If you read the book, you'll know it, but I can't find it anywhere.
So my hope is that one of our listeners will know exactly the book you're referring to and can get a hold of us and let us know. Because, I mean, and if you find out in the future, please check back in because I want to read it now.
It was so much fun and it was a kid's book and before the end of sixth grade, they were already calling me a witch. Because at that point, I was at the library all the time. I already was at the library, but I was definitely in the occult section.
Right. We had a substantial occult section when I was in my youth, up at our public library.
I heartily encourage every public library to have every section. So
ours came up missing all the time. They were always checked out. People didn't bring them back. And I was just always like, lazy witches.
I used to think that that was why before. And then I found out that sometimes, I'm not going to say what religion, but some religions, they have people check those books out too and never return them. Mm. That way they're not available.
That makes sense. That's a strategy, isn't it? So what, if you've had any, I'm sure you have, most of us have, what would you say your biggest failure has been to date and what did you learn from that?
That's a hard one, but I would say the biggest failure I had was listening. You know how you have those community whispers? Listening to chatter and being influenced by it and letting myself get whipped up by people who just wanted to whip me up. Because sometimes we all have our weaknesses and my weakness is I like the underdog. And if you know someone's weakness, if you know the nature of a thing, you can't get mad when it acts according to its nature. But also when you know the nature of a thing, you can manipulate it according to its nature. And I was easily malleable and manipulatable because people close to me or who I thought, you know, were friends, found it amusing to rile me up just for entertainment's sake. And a couple of them for malice's sake, because they wanted certain things to happen in the community, certain positions that they wanted to re-enter and to enter. And to do that, they needed other people out of the way. And they would feed me misinformation in other ways to rile me up so that I would wind up in these little positions so that not only would they eliminate me getting into that position or returning to those positions, it would put me at odds with another person. They were using me as a cat's paw and then troubling the water, and then they would slide in. And I didn't see that. I allowed it to happen. I thoroughly take, you know, responsibility for it. I should know better. I survived the, you know, the 1% biker world a long time, and I knew how that goes there. So, or how that went there. And I'll be doggone, a biker called in from the 1% biker world while I was saying that.
By the way, when you've got a witch on the line.
She is a witch.
Are you talking about me?
Actually, he's one of the ones that was the one of the ones who taught me how to watch for what was going on in that biker world.
Yes, exactly. She's like, my ears are ringing. What are you saying?
It doesn't get any better than this, folks.
Oh, welcome to the circle.
Let me grab my coffee. There's nothing else in it but coffee this time.
Okay. I left my tea on the counter. Too late for all that. So for our listeners, so maybe they can glean even more wisdom from you, because, I mean, that's, you just kind of, as you go through, you bring us mirth and you bring us wisdom. So the best resources that have helped you along the way.
The best resources, I have to go back to the books I used to survive in the biker world and to survive in other places.
Okay.
And I stopped using those lessons from those books in the pagan world, and that was a mistake. But I went back to them, and I feel better now. And it's a series of 4 books. They're not all related to each other. I shouldn't say a series. I should say a set. So are you ready?
Yes.
The first book was The Art of War. Well, it should be 5. I'm sorry. The second book is Thick Face, Black Heart. The third book is The 48 Laws of Power. The fourth book is 10 Chinese Military Classics. And the last book is actually a character series. And that's Anita Blake, the Anita Blake series by Laurel K. Hamilton.
Okay.
Because the character's outlook is very much, I can actually really feel how she sees things sometimes. And those, it has actually been by applying lessons from all of those books and gaining perspective, because, you know, reading teaches us and enhances our perceptions and gives us experiences we may not have in our immediate circle that we had, you know, watching her in those situations in the fiction actually gave me a heads up in certain situations before they arose.
Okay. I admittedly have not read any Anita Blake. I've read The Art of War and The 48 Laws of Power. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Kenya.
Just so you know, it's a paranormal romance, horror, science fiction thing. There's a lot of werewolves, and I'm not in the Anita Blake series. There's werewolves, and it really later on it degrades to almost all soft porn. So I just stopped reading it after a certain point.
Right. I think at a point in time, I had my choice of starting Anita Blake or True Blood.
Ah.
Yeah, the
There's
Sookie Stackhouse.
There's two kinds of people in the world.
Right. And I went for the Sookie Stackhouse, and by the end of it, I was very disappointed.
I still love Anita Blake. I buy her books. The last book I didn't buy, I borrowed it, and I really was so disappointed. It was like I had to find things that interested me outside of the sex, and it was very disappointing. But that's the author's voice. And I respect her voice because you have to respect the author's voice.
Right. You actually just saw her change in energy as she was writing.
Exactly. And her personal life, very much as many writers do, it informs her literary life.
Absolutely. And
this is something that's interesting because it would be something that you would find in certain communities that I intersect with. And she's poly, and she has been attacked for that. So that's really probably why so much of the books are now about interpersonal relationships and dynamics and instead of the detective part.
So using it as more or less an educational vehicle.
That and a little bit of a bully pulpit.
Okay. I will have to, I'll have to read. That's on my list now. I'm always looking for good fiction. I used to always just read nonfiction, and lately I've been getting more and more into fictional reads.
The very best of the series is Obsidian Butterfly. You could just read that book and everything else can just go away.
Okay. Noted. Well, I mean, if I like that, I'll probably go for some other stuff. So I can't stop until I'm disappointed. What movie, book, or some source of media have you taken in as of lately that's inspired you?
Where the Lilies Bloom. I've revisited that book.
And who's the author?
Oh, doggone it. Now look.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I could probably look it up. But the thing is, I've revisited the book and I was watching the movie again. Okay. And the reason I like it so much is because I enjoy the story, but I've gotten into wildcrafting again. I'm back on that journey of really digging down deep, no pun intended, into the earth again, as far as, you know, how it can sustain us. And Where the Lilies Bloom, it really does. It's by, just a moment, I'm pulling it up. It really does talk about how getting to know the land is kind of like getting to know us.
Mm.
And we can save ourselves through saving the land to a point, and we can pull from the land what we need, just like we can pull from our inner reserves what we need. So
right.
the book is written by Bill and Vera Cleaver.
Okay, thank you. Add that to my list.
Very old book, though.
I like classics.
The film is 1974.
Okay. I might not watch that because it might not have audio description. I become a snob with movies now.
Well, that's kind of why somebody... I'm warning you.
Right. It used to be the only option, but now we have the whole audio description thing. So I'm like, no, I lean more towards the things that have the narrator. Turns it into like an audio book.
Well, here's the thing, because the film is on YouTube now available in full, YouTube has transcripts.
Ooh.
That's one of the thing is that's kind of saving us at PBN, because trying to do those transcriptions of those interviews, I have a backlog of them because I can't really hear them very well sometimes. And it hurts to see. We've talked about this, about me and my eyes.
Right.
So what I'm trying to type everything they're saying, and it's I can't get the stuff released quickly enough, and everybody wants everything transcribed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. So now I'm uploading them to YouTube because YouTube is automatically transcribing them. So all they have to do is click the link now and go to the YouTube where the video is originally sourced from now. And now they can actually read along with the transcript.
Right, because they're performing speech to text. Okay.
Because it was monstrous.
Right, that's a lot of manual labor.
And I wouldn't mind doing it, but it's very hard. It's the glare of the light from the laptop and the glare of the light from the phone. They physically hurt me. Like this tone is turned down so low, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh, on your monitor. Okay.
I'm a mole person. I'm a mole person. I'm from under little the young vegan children going to eat all the vegans.
You heard it here first. The truth is out there. It's been revealed.
Exactly. That's exactly what's about to happen.
Oh, no.
So put that on your bingo card. Kenya becomes the person that comes from under the ground in H.G. Wells' novel.
I'm not sure how Cthulhu is going to feel about all this, but...
It's fine. After all, 2020, no lives matter.
And people keep saying, I can't wait till this year is over. I'm like, okay. Okay, so at midnight, things are just going to magically be... Okay, fine. And I'm a magical thinker, so...
There you go.
How about three people throughout history, dead or alive, who have been most influential to you?
First one, Granville Edward Nesbitt, born 1913 in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. That is the father who raised me. Mm. That's my daddy. He would have been a cousin-in-law, I think. And he just had all kinds of life lessons. He was just awesome. And the second would be Mary Hines Nesbitt, born Mary McGee in 1926 in Marianna, Arkansas. She's the mom who raised me. Mm. So those two were very influential. Of course, you know, we battle because mother-daughter, but, you know, we right. battled a lot. Those right. two will be the biggest direct influences on me, but I'm going to combine them into one because I'm going to say that was the household, if that's okay.
That's fine.
All right. So that's the first one.
You know, we thank them for shaping you. Continue.
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately for the world. second biggest influence. I would say probably... Yeah. Joan of Arc. Mm-hmm. Joan of Arc. And the reason being is, you know, because that whole, you know, divine revelation thing. I love that. I love that she fought for her vision. I love that, you know, she was given the vision of the sword under the altar in the old church. And she went and got the sword and she fought under her own banner. And she just tried to be truthful. She tried to be just truthful the whole time.
Right.
Even in the face of adversity, she tried to be truthful. Didn't end up well for her now, did it? But it still, she stood her own spot. And every time I've stopped standing in my own spot, my own power, I've lost everything. So I found that just following that way is kind of the best way. And right. and she's a big influence because of that. And then Dr. Saltzman at Highland Park Community College, which is an HBCU that is no longer in existence, thanks to the Michigan governor, Governor Engler, during his Republican cuts many Thank years you, ago. And I'm trying to remember what his first name was. Oh, wow. I should know because we never called him anything but Dr. Saltzman. he is the gentleman who was the shaper. He was the clay builder into my academic blossoming, per se, or entry. He's the one who approved my admittance to the W.E.B. Du Bois Honors Program and saw me through it. I became a Du Bois Honors Scholar, just an associate's, by the way. And he opened up a whole new world for me. I should have taken up the offer and just gone to Africa for a few years, but I didn't. I wanted to stay home and kind of take care of my parents a little bit. But yeah, he was a huge influence. Opened up my eyes to how the world worked and literature and Sheikh Ahmed Diop and social responsibility, societal responsibility. And the honors colloquiums he used to lead were absolutely amazing. If it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have been in the Honors Association through the colleges, and I wouldn't have had so much growth. So definitely he was an influence. Mm. I think it was Frederick Saltzman. Have to double check.
Okay. This one I'm sure you'll have some things to say about. a common misconception about paganism or the craft that you would like to debunk?
Common misconception is that we are demonolaters. Mm-hmm. The craft, as far as I am a common witch with a small W. I want to make that very clear. I am not initiated British traditional Wicca. There's a big difference in that. So I'm just a common witch. So that being said, you know, I'm more of a cunning woman than anything else. But the automatic assumption is that we worship demons. And that's not correct. That is incorrect. Understanding we're talking about the Western definition in the United States. I'm not addressing anything else. I'm definitely not addressing Pan-Africans' version of the understanding of what a witch is, nor am I addressing the indigenous nations here, their versions of what their understanding of what a witch would be. They are very different than what we're talking about here.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. Coming up in a Baptist church, I have turned out to be everything that they warned me of. So,
oh no.
There we are. Okay, so if you were interviewing yourself, what would you have asked that I have missed?
If you had to do everything you have on your path through your witchcraft journey, would you change anything significant? And I guess my answer would be yes. I would definitely change a lot of things. One of those things would be that I would definitely safeguard a lot more strongly my magical identity. And the reason I'm saying that is because I lost my career in a way in Head Start here in Detroit area because they found out, they doxed me. Mm. And once that happened, everything went wrong. And I definitely would have done that in school when I was a young child because it caused a lot of unnecessary bullying and pain. And even teachers were trying to perform exorcisms. It was very terrible. Today's a different time. But looking at the time that I grew up in, I would definitely have guarded my magical identity a lot more strongly.
I think if I were asked the same question, I would give the same answer.
You can't tell, but I'm smiling and trying to look as non-threatening as possible right now. I've even got that camera angle where I get to look up at you like I'm kind of like a doe and all innocent. Like, and damn well, that's a lie.
Blink, blink, blink. I didn't do anything.
It's like, oh, she's so sweet. Look at her. She would never hurt a fly. Uh-huh. Y'all ain't ever seen me drink some wine and start throwing shade. Oh, let me stop.
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah. I started in middle school delivering messages to people that I should not have been delivering, but I didn't have a teacher. I was dealing with things that no one could help me with or talk to me with that was in my immediate life. In fact, they didn't even want to talk about it. I didn't find my first teacher until I got into high school. And at that point in time, a whole lot of stuff broke loose.
I can imagine. And that's a volatile time to find a teacher. That's a volatile time. Very volatile.
Right.
But the good thing about magic, though, if you're doing those messages and reading, it can also give you a lot of insights you might not have.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll talk to you about that sometime, but this is not that time.
Okay. I will never knock divination because it kept me alive in the mountains back in 89.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, divination is it's a daily part of my life. Before I do any kind of works, and sometimes to figure out what I'm having for dinner. No, that's not true. That's not true. Because they'd stop answering me for stuff like that. They'd be like, no.
Get slapped in the head with a fish if you tried to do that. You know
right,
that.
Right, right, right. Because they don't play with indecisive like that.
No. You very rarely can hit the well for yourself, at least in my experience. You keep going back to the well not only going to run dry, it's going to hit you with a brick. Like, oh, you thirsty? Look thirsty, ho. Bam, with a brick from the edge of the well. That's what you get. Now what you want to know.
Right. So I guess...
Matter of fact, we're going to throw you in the well.
Little Timmy. So I guess
he's bad as hell.
One more thing that's kind of crossed my mind since we've been talking is the same thing that everybody else is dealing with, and that's this pandemic. And how has that impacted you doing what you do?
I run events.
Right, right.
I just bought the Witch's Ball last year, okay? And we ain't even going to talk about how much we went. Oh Lord, that was I have gray hairs that I pulled out, and from that experience.
But you look good.
Oh well, thank you very much. But yeah, just it has been terrible on the business that I thought I would do. I was fortunate to find Elaine Gratzberg, and I just butchered her name. I'm sure I have. Let me make sure that I didn't make it so badly that she will hunt me down.
Elaine Glansberg.
But I was fortunate to work with her and with Wicca Press and her church. Yeah, it's Glansberg. Okay, there we go. See, I said it incorrectly. And I'm probably still so, but I'm doing my best. I've never said her last name. Mm-hmm. So there we go. And when someone mispronounces a word or a name, it's because we only know it by reading. So that is what it is. But I've, you know, she took the reins of the book fair that I tried to run. I said, you know, if you want to take it over, you can. And she did. And I was like, hey, I ain't gotta do nothing. That was the only event.
That's the exception to the rule.
The exception to the rule that I was able to do. You know me, I'm usually like overly controlling. Of my events. I'm just like, you know, I am Cthulhu kin after all. Mm-hmm. They just call me Cthulhu. But yes, the pagan Cthulhu, because of all the tentacles. Not the other way, because I didn't know about that tentacle stuff until a couple of years ago that the other thing happened. I didn't know anything about that. Somebody showed me a movie. I was traumatized. I was like, why? But anyway, that does not go there. But yeah, I just, I was very, very happy to see her take over the Paganish Michigan virtual book fair. I was very happy, but I'm used to being in control of everything, and I'm used to being able to have events every year, and that didn't happen. So that has been a very strong blow to me, to the people that I wanted to pay this year from those events, so that they would continue to, you know, be employed, because during this time, many people who have festivals and whatnot have been unemployed. Vendors have lost money. Servers have lost money. Performers have lost money. And presenters have lost money, those who get paid, which, by the way, I may or may not pay my presenters. I'm never going to tell nobody. but I was able to be in a couple of events, and I'm grateful for that. So I was definitely in a huge event, Witchfest USA, and then another huge event, Hexfest. So those two events were fun. I enjoyed that, but if I had to do it as a choice, I prefer doing it in person.
I have to agree with that. Having taught at a couple online festivals now, I feel like I'm teaching to my bookshelf or something. It's kind of a strange, the interaction isn't as much, even when it's encouraged, and it's makes it more challenging, I think, as a presenter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of which, are you able to present next year?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. See that tentacle just reached on out and grabbed you.
Oh, wait, I have my own tentacle.
Yes, you do.
Will you be a regular contributor as a pagan journalist to Wider Circles?
I would be honored to do so. We just have to look at what regular means. But yes, I will.
Right.
I would be happy to do that. I'm leaning forward now because I wanted to also not forget we did Michigan Magic and Machine, I think.
Yes.
Wasn't that your festival?
Yes.
And I forgot to mention that. And the reason I forgot is not because it's any less to me. It's because, and I was, I love being part of that. The reason I forgot is because when I think festivals, I think recurring festivals, and that festival is supposed to be having been scheduled for 1 year, although I hope you do bring it back next year.
I don't know if that's the talks or not. I don't think it was, because that was meant to be. The only way that it will come back next year, I think, is if we are still doing things online.
Really? Because Bloomer Park would be a wonderful place for you to do it, because there was a steampunk festival there called Gilded Gears.
I will make sure to talk to Theodore.
And that was some of the ladies used to have Dread Naughty.
Okay. I'll make sure to talk to Theodore.
Oh, look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
So before we wrap things up, I want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners where they can find you online.
I'm playing with my hair now.
Okay.
Trying to like do that witchy bang comb over. Okay. You can find me on I want to be like Freak Phil. I want to be Michael Carell. Google me. No.
Google me.
His line is Google me, bitch. But no, like Michael Carell. But no, it's you can find me. You can literally Google me. There is only one Kenya Koviak in the United States.
There's only one.
So that's one way to find me. You can find me at paganbusinessnetwork.com. You can find me through contacting the page on Detroit Conjure and Folk Magic Festival on Facebook. We also have an online page. You can find me through the Michigan Witches Ball, the Midwest Witches Bazaar. You can look for me through Wandering Goddess Festival. And the page for that on Facebook is Cosmic Katydid Tribe. That's right, Cosmic Katydid Tribe. That's the super sweet, nice, kind, love and light page.
Oh, well.
So that's a safe place for people to go who are like, well, I'm not really witchy, but I like, you know, feminism, and I like, I'm not even, no. just go to this page, sweetie. Just go here. Go here. I'll give you a crystal, and you can go on your way, because I love y'all, but y'all not ready for this witchy page. So we're going to have you over here, and y'all can come out to a Proud Lake, and we can sit up in that little area for a day, and have my adult juice box that I provide y'all. It comes in a box with a spigot. It's an adult juice box. And somebody brought some gummy candy, which I didn't eat, but they had that with the juice box, and it was a good time. These women were running around, jumping into the lake. They jumped into the dam. They jumped into the water, okay? They were running through the woods, jumped into the water. This is daytime, all right? Jumped into the water. I know, and blew bubbles with their juice box. They had a good time, had a bonfire and everything. So you can find me through Wandering Goddess Festival Retreat.
That sounds fun.
It was fun. It was really fun. We had a good time.
Very good.
So you can find me that way too. And if you're really brave, if you're really, really brave, look for my Facebook page. If you send a request and I grant you yes, you'll see the stuff that I can't post publicly because people keep reporting my page.
I don't understand why they keep reporting you, but
because they don't have anything else to do.
Right.
If you don't remember anything else, y'all, remember these words of advice. Don't stick strange things in your vajayjay in the name of holistic health.
That's really good, really good advice.
People just putting everything, wasp nests and rocks. Oatmeal.
Oh, well, on that note.
What's next?
What's next, indeed?
What's next? Grillo pads and tomato soup? I mean, what are we getting ready to do? What's really going on?
I don't know. I think that's on OnlyFans. I think that's on OnlyFans. But
I don't know about OnlyFans. I don't want to see that, so I'm not going to pay for it. But I wanted to sell pictures of my feet and call it witch feet, like my own Insta feet, but Insta witch feet. But Kyle won't let me. My husband won't let me access Insta feet.
I'll light some candles towards that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kenya. I can't wait for you to come back to the show.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Right. Thank you. I like to call this segment Sit a Spell, or at least that's the working title for right now, and that's because that's what I'm going to do is share a spell. In this instance, it's more of a methodology because it can be used for multiple purposes, so it's more of a work, but we'll talk about that as we move forward. It's called a manifestation plate. And it is something that I learned when I attended a class at a local metaphysical shop that I used to throw bones through. And it was also taught by a very dear friend of mine. And when we arrived at the workshop, we were told to bring any craft supplies that we might want to work with. But when we arrived, there were a stack of paper plates on the table. There was ribbon and string and markers and pens and glue and stickers and glitter. And I will take my public stance here now. I am not a fan of glitter. The environment does not like it unless it's biodegradable. I'll leave that alone now. But there were lots of different things for us to adorn our plates. And so we were instructed to determine our intention for making the plate. So what did we want to manifest? And it's a very versatile tool, like I said. It can be used to draw in, to manifest healing, to manifest money, to manifest abundance in other areas, to manifest opportunities of employment. If you're trying to find a new place to live, any of these things you could use this plate for. And there's like no end to the number of things that you could use this plate for. So we started decorating our plates with symbols and different things that would back up the intent, that would help to form this magical working. So I drew dollar signs. I was working for money and for abundance at the time. And since I've done this spell, past that, I've done it for all different types of works. But right here, we're going to talk about the manifestation of money and abundance. So I drew dollar signs and I drew coins and I worked in colors of green with accents of gold. And so we put sacred symbols that would help to back up the power of the work. And I took some satin cord, some green satin cord, and I fashioned a dollar sign out of that, because being blind, having something tactile on there was very helpful. So we do this, and it takes us, you know, as long as it takes to decorate a paper plate with intention. And we're instructed to take this home and feed it and work with it. And we made this near the new moon. My recommendation is to start this plate on the new moon and then work with it through the full moon. So again, we're instructed to take this home and to feed it and to work with it. Working with it could entail lighting candles on it, anointing it with oils, and different things like this. Now, on a side note, my understanding is that this work, this particular spell, in the past was done with clay. And that really resonates with me, although I've not actually performed the spell using clay. So you fashion a little plate out of your clay, and you can incorporate herbs that would help to back up, to help lend their energy towards your work. And you can use stones, different things like this. Now, I would like to point out that when you're working with the clay, that when you release the energy, you throw it into a body of water. So while you're working with your clay, if you decide to do it that way, make sure that you don't use any essential oils or anything that could disrupt the habitat that exists in that running body of water, in the stream or the ocean or whatever that is. And I'll talk more about releasing the energy after I talk about the paper plate release. So I take the paper plate home, and I write a manifestation check, and I place it under the plate, and this is sitting on my altar, so you put it on whatever your working space looks like. And then I anointed it with a proper oils, and here's a product plug. Dorothy Morrison's Fast Cash Oil is something that I use frequently for this type of work. So I anointed the plate with Dorothy Morrison's Fast Cash Oil. Ding! And then I put coins and I put a stack of bills on the plate. I placed a magnet under the candle that I put in the center of the plate. So I put a flat magnet down in the bottom to draw in, to help lend that energy. And then I put a candle holder with, I use tea lights, and I'd put a tea light in there, and we'd burn that every day. And that's part of working with the plate. That fire, that element is lending its energy towards the work. And again, I would anoint that with appropriate oils. And on my plate, I would also put malachite and other stones that were beneficial for this sort of work. So I did this from the new moon to the full moon. I have a second example that I'll talk about in a moment. But this particular time, it was January. I take my plate outside with my nice brass cauldron, which was about a foot tall, and it was hand hammered by a local artist. I didn't even wear a coat, and I live in Michigan. I figure it's a paper plate, a minute or two tops for burning. So I light it. It starts burning as anticipated, and about a minute or so in, the cauldron starts to tremble and the flames shoot out. The cauldron's about a foot deep and the flames are shooting out at least a foot above the top of the cauldron. It's shaking, it's trembling, it's rattling the patio table that it's sitting on. It's rattling that around. And one of my housemates, my partner at the time, comes outside and wants to know what's going on. Is everything okay? And I was like, this is not what I anticipated. This is not what I expected. So I'm not sure if I need to get a fire extinguisher or what we're looking at here. It proceeded to do that for about 10 minutes, at which time the flames died down. And when everything cooled off to the point that I could approach it, I noticed that it had blown the legs off the cauldron. So I cast the ashes out into the wind, as you do, with the remains of a working such as this. And it was the working was very successful. Won't talk too much about that, but yes, my personal gnosis. And the second time I worked with this spell for prosperity and for manifestation of money, because again, I've worked with it for several things, but the second time I've worked with it for manifestation of money and prosperity was just recently. I started working with the new moon. I created my plate at the new moon in August and burned it to release its energy at the full moon at the beginning of September. And this was at a little gathering at my house, a little intimate full moon ritual that we performed, the first one that I participated in person since the beginning of the pandemic. And as a part of the full moon ritual, towards the end, I put my plate inside the sensor that held the charcoal and the herbs that we had burned for the ritual and released the energy. So it started burning as anticipated, and then it started flaming up. I stepped back away from the altar so it didn't take me out with it. After a couple minutes of burning like this, it appeared that the cauldron started dancing. And it, this was a sensor, not a cauldron. It started dancing, or so it appeared as though it was, and the legs snapped off that suspended the cauldron. Three of them. All three of them came off. One of the pieces is going to be one of the newest pieces added to my bone divination set, which we'll talk about in a different segment. So it appears to me that when you work this manifestation plate spell for prosperity and for money and for the like, that it requires a material component, and that is apparently a sensor or a cauldron or something like that. Now, when you release the clay, if you decide to work with clay, the full moon comes, you put that into a running body of water, such as a stream or a river or the ocean, and you let that flowing water carry your intentions away. But again, please make sure that you're not putting anything in there that will harm, that will throw the balance off of that ecosystem, because that's not what we're trying to do when we work our magic. If you work with this spell and you feel so inclined to share your results, please send them to widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. Until next sit a spell, bless you. Well, I think that's it. I think that's all I have for you for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me on this, the pilot episode of Wider Circles. All the support shown to me by my community as I planted the seeds that led to the harvest of this podcast, that fills my heart and soul with immense gratitude. Special thank yous going out to Kenya Koviak for being my first victim, my first interviewee. As well as everyone who joined me for the official Wider Circles launch party held on Zoom. We celebrated proper-like. All of the music that you've heard in this episode was created exclusively for Wider Circles. Stay connected with us by liking and following the Wider Circles Facebook page at facebook.com/widercirclespodcast. Please, if you've enjoyed what you've heard in this episode, consider sharing with a friend or three. It would really help the podcast. Also, if you happen to be at the platform where you receive your podcast, maybe consider reviewing it. Every bit helps. Wider Circles is always looking for guest contributors, pagans to chat with, books and products to review, show ideas, so on and so forth. For questions or for one of the previously mentioned reasons, you can direct all of your emails to widercirclespodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for choosing to listen, and I hope that you'll join me for the next episode, scheduled to release on October 6th. And now, as promised, and as performed at the launch party, I proudly present the world premiere of Simply Amazed, performed by Jeremy Westover, written by PK and Jeremy Westover. The circle is open, but unbroken. Until next time.
It's simply amazing, this thing we call life. What it is, I can't comprehend. There's beauty and kindness and sorrow and strife, and you never know what's just around the bend. And the world, it keeps on turning, changing every day. And I wonder where it came from and how it got this way. I wake in the morning and rub my eyes, preparing for what I might see. I go to the window and look outside and perceive a world of mystery. And the world, it keeps on turning, changing every day. And I wonder where it came from and how it got this way. Yeah. 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 And the world, it keeps on turning, it changes every day. And I wonder where it came from and how it got this way. Now that I'm at the end of the day, things I see aren't quite as they seem. I wonder how I have found my way, and wonder if it's all just a dream. And the world, it keeps on turning, it changes every day. And I wonder where it came from and how it got this way. And the world, it keeps on turning, turning, changing every day. And I wonder where it came from and how it got this way.